Mr. Beal, good morning to you. You may approach. My apologies if I mispronounce your client's last name.
It is Deniz. Mr. Chief Justice, other members of the court, I'm Gregory Beal from Ogallala, Nebraska, and I represent the plaintiff and the appellant in this action, Yolanda Deniz. This is a case of serious proportions, in my opinion, and I believe it is an appropriate case for this court to address because we are alleging there has been a substantial miscarriage of justice in this case. However, unintentionally by the district judge, you need to correct the situation. This is a divorce action in Keene County. At the time of the trial on the divorce, the parties had stipulated to a sale of the family residence at Lake Conneaut, and there was Exhibit 1, which was a property statement. Various items on Exhibit 1 were assigned to each of the parties relating to the personal property, specific items. The remaining items which were not specifically assigned were ordered to be sold at auction, and the proceeds divided equally. As a matter, as the case progressed, the house was eventually sold and the proceeds were divided equally between the parties. Most of the personal property assigned to each of the parties was in fact received by each of the parties. However, the husband was allowed to and had exclusive possession of the family residence. And when the plaintiff left, she noted that various items of her personal property were still in the house. There was a wood pellet stove, there was a bush hog mower, there were other items of property that was to be sold. There was a gun safe with some very valuable firearms in it. And in that gun safe was a loose diamond that was from her wedding ring, which had been specifically awarded to her. Photograph evidence was adduced to show that when she left the home, it was in very good condition, and some of these items of property were shown in those photographic exhibits. What happened is shortly before the house, the closing on the house, the realtor called Mrs. Deniz and said, you got to get out here. The house has been trashed. There was kerosene spilled on the floor. The house was literally trashed. The personal belongings of the plaintiff had been destroyed. The family photos had been cut up. The heads were cut off of the family photos. The frames were mutilated and damaged. There was extensive damage to the property of the plaintiff in the home. Not only that, is just near the entrance of the home, the motorcycle helmet of the plaintiff was placed on a stake near the entrance of the home, riddled with bullet holes. So that's how she found the house, and she had to go in, clean it all up, she and her family, and get it ready for the closing. Later, the property was not sold at auction. There was some question of what the value of that property would be, whether to justify an auction, but the guns were never turned over. The bush hog mower disappeared. The wood pellet stove, which is a supplemental heating system for the home, disappeared while in the exclusive possession of the defendant and the husband. So then we asked for the district judge to issue an order implementing his decree.
So you call that an application for implementation of order, is that right?
That is correct.
Is that a motion?
Pardon?
Is that a contempt motion?
Well, I believe that it has all the legal effect of the motion. It was a motion for relief by the court to order compliance with its decree.
What did that application seek that wasn't already in the decree?
The application sought turnover of the property and accounted for the missing property.
Well, didn't the decree order the turnover of the property?
The decree did not specifically order the turnover of the property. That's what we were trying to get, is an order to turn over the property and to account for it. We were thinking, all we wanted was the judge to just say, hey, turn the stuff over.
You think the prior order is merely assigned interest, but did not order a turnover? Is that the distinction?
That is correct. And the district judge took the position, well, when I order that people have certain property in my decree, that's an absolute conveyance and it's their property. So if the party holding it in possession, if it slides away from them or they transfer it to a third party, what the judge says, well, you can do a conversion action or a replevin action. Why should my client have to go back to court and file multiple actions against various parties to replevy the property which was awarded to her?
Is there any reason, counsel, that you couldn't file an order for show cause, that you couldn't begin contempt proceedings in this action?
We probably could have done it that way. I thought that in effect my motion would accomplish that purpose. We were trying to go about this in an orderly way, and we believed that we had a new judge on the bench. We thought that what we wanted was a turnover. Then we would have proceeded with contempt proceeding if it wasn't turned over.
If I could back you up a little, what is our standard of review? How do we review the court's order denying your request?
Let's address what my client requested. She requested a turnover of the items specifically awarded to her.
What is our standard of review when we're reviewing the trial court's order?
Whether there was an abuse of discretion on the part of the trial judge in depriving the litigant of the substantial legal right. That's the standard of review. And my client were alleging that the district court has not only the power to enforce its own orders in divorce actions and these things where men or women sometimes treasure their toys above conscience and things start slip-sliding away, sometimes some very substantial assets. And that's what happened to my client in this case.
Do you think the trial judge made any errors of law?
I think that the trial court has an affirmative duty as well as the power to enforce its own orders. And as in some of our cases, we've cited that it even goes so far in previous case law to say the judges even have supervisory powers over the process. And they have a duty to redefine their orders, to do anything that they need to do to prevent a misjustice and people from not following orders of the court.
What exactly would you like us to tell the judge to do?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I'm having a hard time.
What exactly would you like us to tell the judge to do?
Order the turnover of this property, award my client the value of items that are not, that he has either disposed of or can't turn over because he's given them to third parties. She should be awarded attorney's fees. She should be awarded her cost of cleaning up this mean-spirited act of trashing the house. If she and her family had gone in there and spent days literally cleaning us up, the house wouldn't have gotten sold. And so she's been at a disadvantage. And in these divorce cases, it's always problematic in getting people to turn over property, especially when it's something that they would rather keep, like guns or jewelry, things like that. And so the courts literally do have a duty to exercise this supervisory power, in our opinion, under the law, to make sure that people do what they're supposed to do. And if they don't, they can tighten the noose until they do. Bad boys, bad behavior should not be rewarded. And if you allow this case to stand the way it is, then you're going to encourage this sort of thing happening in other cases. The district judges need reassurance of their powers and authority so that in these divorce cases, they can define, they can go in and define their orders if they have to.
If we were to construe your motion as a motion, as a contempt motion, did you give the other party proper notice?
I believe that we gave, we actually served summons upon the defendant in this case at the request of the district judge, and it was set for hearing, and of course he had plenty of notice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Dawson, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court, my name is Brad Dawson. I represent the appellee in these proceedings, Mr. Denise. It's difficult to respond to the appellant's argument because they have, in effect, blended two systems of relief into one, and they use the terms interchangeably. There are methods of enforcing a decree, and there are methods for modifying or amending a decree. They're not the same. They don't operate the same. They don't work the same. They result in different...
Which thing do you think this motion was?
The court thought it was a motion for modification, and I tend to agree with Judge Birch's decision in that regard. And because of that, their standard is they've got to show either a gross inequity,
What changes would they be making in the decree if your client were to turn over the items and engage in a sale of the property that wasn't, that was supposed to be sold? How would that modify the decree?
It doesn't modify, but what it does is replicate what the court's already said to do.
So it isn't a modification.
In that, when they're asking for an order to turn over property, that order already exists within the body and confines of the decree. I mean,
but
that
if
is
your,
an absolute grant of property.
If your client has not done that, can Mrs. Denise ask to hold you in contempt?
I think clearly. And I think she can also file a motion to enforce the
provision. Isn't that what she was asking here?
Was for contempt?
Yes.
No, I don't believe so.
This is a new creature of pleadings, isn't it?
Never seen it before, Judge. I've been practicing since 82. I've never seen an application for implementation.
So, but there wouldn't be any reason why Mrs. Denise could not file an action for contempt and seek to obtain possession of these items of property that were awarded to her.
I think, practically speaking, she would have to select amongst her remedies. Mm-hmm. Clearly, I think she can enforce, and had she done so and pled a specific dollar value for the properties not returned under the Davis decision, I clearly think the court could have done
so. She was requesting new relief with regard to the cost of the cleanup of the house, wasn't she? That wasn't covered in the decree.
That would be true, and that I don't even think that's a modification. I think that's an entirely different lawsuit. She has two people assisting her in that cleanup, and she's trying to enforce not only her claim, but two other persons' claim, and she never adduced any bit of evidence that she had been assigned those rights by those persons that had performed the work.
Do you think the judge in the divorce case can award those damages, or they don't have to call them damages, but does the judge have the power to enforce his original decree?
I think if you were to do it through a contempt proceeding, you could find it in the contempt ruling that this damage occurred and make it part of the punishment under the contempt proceeding.
But if it wasn't under the contempt proceeding, they'd have to bring a separate lawsuit, wouldn't they?
That's my opinion, Your Honor. I agree with you.
Let me ask you again, why is this not a contempt proceeding, even though the word contempt was never used?
I think that's the fatal flaw. There is no allegation that he's in contempt of court. When I plead a contempt action, that's one of the elements I plead automatically, that this action is contemptuous and that the court's entitled to enforce and uses powers of contempt. And no such allegation is contained within the application for implementation order. I think what they've done, and I think it's fatal, blended a request for modification with request for, with request for enforcement. And I think having done so, they had to have a selection of remedies at that point in time. They didn't select. They left this court to fashion a remedy from that pleading, which the court was incapable of doing.
So, whatever this pleading might be, what is your opinion as to what our standard review is?
I think on the jurisdictional issue, you have to examine the facts and come to your own conclusion.
If we get past the jurisdictional issue?
You ask me, is it de novo if you go past that issue? I suspect it is because it's an action in equity. But if the jurisdictional question has been decided on a factual basis, I think there's another standard of review that you might want to look at. And that's just for to examine the court's final determination and its conclusion.
Well, the court's final determination, for example, there's a comment in there that you want me to give some of this property to your children or something like that. Where in the record does that come from?
I don't know. I honestly don't. I think the court confused a piece of evidence because I think one of the children might have been in possession of some of the property that Ms. Denise was requesting. And I can't find any place in the record where she actually requested that property go to this child or that child or anywhere else.
What confidence does that give us in the court's order?
I think it's an honest mistake. I don't think it's a reversible error by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think it's reversible, and I don't think remand's an appropriate remedy. I truly think that Ms. Denise had to make an election, and she elected to blend remedies as opposed to enforcing one or the other because of her position in that regard, irrespective of implementation order or anything else. She made a selection. The court couldn't do what she asked for. Why would a trial court say again, I told you once to deliver this property, now I'm telling you the second time? That's just not how I understand the system operates. Because of that, I think the trial court's judgment is correct. There may be an error with respect to the award of property to a child versus return of property from a child. The order is correct. Yes, the court affirm Judge Birch's order. Any further questions? Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. So we will go on to the next case of the day, which is State versus Douglas Rothenberger.